welcome to Eco Justice Radio here on 90.7 KPFK. My name is JP Morris, and today we have an interview hosted by SoCal350's own Jack Eit. He'll be talking to Marta Segura, Andrea Leon Grossman, and Susan Corman Chang. But first, Words from the Front. And this week's Words from the Front is brought to you by Alicia Rivera from Communities for a Better Environment.
Yeah, I'm Alicia Rivera with CDE Communities for a Better Environment, and we're here at AQMD today, December 1st, to request approval of the Rule 1180, which is fence line monitoring around refineries, as well as community monitoring in the nearby areas closest to the refineries. And we think that it's a good first step, although there is a lot more that needs to be done, but the communities have been waiting for years for this to happen. So we have participated in the working groups. We have provided recommendations, for example, about having a say about the systems that the refineries will choose to monitor their own emissions in the fence line, so that they will be given a year to come out with the design and systems. And we want a good public process that includes community before implementing that. We also have made recommendations for the emissions for all emissions to try to be measured, such as whatever comes up in the very tall stacks, that the monitors will be difficult because they will be mostly monitoring ground level emissions. So we want to make sure that the refineries are not going to get away with whatever is being emitted high up in the air. And so we ask for that to be looked at. Also, we are pretty satisfied that the district have required the refineries to pay for the cost of community monitoring. That's a separate monitoring that will be done in the areas closest to the refineries, where we have a lot of members in Wilmington, and some of them are here with me today. So this is a good step, and there is a lot more to be done.
Thank you, Alicia. And now our interview with Marta Segura, Andrea Leon Grossman, and Susan Corman Chang. You're listening to Eco Justice Radio here on 90.7 KPFK.
You're listening to Eco Justice Radio here on 90.7 KPFK. My name is Jack Eit. Southern California Gas Company was responsible for a recent chemical spill in the Rancho Park area of West Los Angeles that caused a strong gas-like odor to blanket surrounding neighborhoods. The Los Angeles City Council directed various agencies to investigate, with area residents and two councilmen voicing heavy criticism of SoCal Gas's handling of post-spill communications. According to the utility, the odor that began permeating the area around 9:10 p.m. on November 29th was not caused by a gas leak, but by a spill of a supposedly non-toxic odorant, methyl mercaptan, added to natural gas as a safety precaution so people can notice its presence. The spill emanated from an independent oil and natural gas production facility, E&B Natural Resources, a site area under investigation for flouting city regulations and installing a massive gas burner to burn off excess methane at the site. This site sits within just 226 feet of Temple Isaiah Preschool and within 1,500 feet, less than a third of a mile, of Le Lycée Français de Los Angeles School and St. Timothy School, and numerous neighborhoods including Cheviot Hills and Century City. The spill was cleaned up, and SoCal Gas said that the odor was expected to dissipate gradually during the day. Nevertheless, people have complained that the smell did not dissipate and have claimed lingering health issues. It should be noted that methyl mercaptans and other odor markers can break down to form other chemicals in the atmosphere. It is these mercaptans and their possible byproducts that may be a health concern. This is not the first time that SoCal Gas Company, owned by Sempra Energy, has been charged with failing to inform the public properly of when they have a spill, leak, or accident and what risks this presents to communities. In 2015, it took months for SoCal Gas to disclose a massive rupture at the gas storage facility at Aliso Canyon next to the San Fernando Valley community of Porter Ranch. Now, 2 years after 100,000 metric tons of methane spewed from one of 115 aged wells, which sickened thousands of people and forced them to temporarily leave their homes, the facility has been reopened and people continue to claim health effects. In fact, an independent health study by Dr. Jeffrey Nordella found high levels of uranium, lithium, and a synthetic chemical used to make plastics were present in the urine and hair samples of residents who live near the site. This begs the question of Governor Jerry Brown as to why the facility remains open, and further, why oil and gas drilling and storage continues in SoCal communities such as South LA, mm-hmm. Wilmington, and Rancho Park next to schools, senior centers, and homes. Joining us tonight on EcoJustice Radio here on KPFK to discuss the issues are three guests. Andrea Leon Grossman is a Southern California organizer with Food and Water Watch. She works on the campaign for a just transition to 100% clean, renewable energy in Los Angeles. She has always been passionate about fighting for social justice and has been involved with animal rights, juvenile justice, immigrant rights, and of course, environmental groups for nearly a decade. Born in Mexico City, Andrea graduated magna cum laude from American College in Los Angeles and went on to pursue her master's degree from Syracuse University. Marta Segura, Climate Law Institute Southern California Engagement Director, builds and strengthens partnerships to protect communities, their health, and the environment from oil drilling, oppose oil and gas projects, and support enforcement of environmental protections in Southern California. She is a spokesperson in Spanish English language media for Los Angeles programming, holding a master's degree of public health from UCLA and a bachelor's from UC Santa Barbara. She brought more than 20 years of experience in philanthropy, community engagement, and environmental advocacy with her to the center. And third to join us is Susan Gorman Chang, who worked with Save Porter Ranch to demand an environmental impact report from Terramo Corporation. And their plans to add 12 more wells to their operations in the hills behind Porter Ranch, potentially using unconventional drilling methods to include fracking, acidization, and completion drilling. While that battle raged, SoCal Gas's number SS-25 gas well blew out, and her family and thousands of others were evacuated. It was then she became an environmental activist. She ran for Porter Ranch Neighborhood Council because she felt the existing board was not advocating for residents in this environmental disaster and won a seat in June 2016. She is currently vice president of the Porter Ranch Neighborhood Council, the representative for the PRNC on the Neighborhood Council Sustainability Alliance, and co-chair for two communities she formed, those being Sustainability Committee and Homeless Solutions Committee. So, first, we'd like to speak with Andrea Leon Grossman. Andrea lived near the site. Could you tell us your experience that night when the spill happened in Rancho Park?
Yeah, I had just gone out to get a quick bite to eat, and I opened the door to go get into my car, and the odor was just overwhelming. I initially thought there was a gas leak in my street or nearby, and I asked my husband to call the gas company and see if they could send someone out to investigate. I got into my car. I drove to the restaurant that was about a mile and a half away. I went into the restaurant. I ate in about 15, 20 minutes. I got out of the restaurant, and when I got out, I could smell the gas there, or what I thought was gas. So I thought, well, it must be more than just my street. I headed back to my house, and the odor was even more overpowering. So I immediately Went on next door. I shared our little flyer that we have. If you smell something, say something, to get people to call the AQMD, Air Quality Management District, so that they could send an investigator. I also had printed copies of that flyer, and I started canvassing my own street, even though I was getting sick and nauseous with the smell. It was really disheartening to see some houses actually had their doors open because they thought the gas was coming from inside the house, not outdoors. It was later that I found out that there was, I think it was the Palms Neighborhood Council that had a warning for people to stay indoors and shelter in place. We never got that warning, so it was really concerning that we had that miscommunication and just no one was on the same page. Eventually, the inspector from AQMD showed up way before anyone from the gas company showed up. And they told us that it smelled exactly the way it smelled when Aliso Canyon blew up, which, again, at that point, we didn't know if we were really having a massive gas leak that was basically happening all over the west side. I turned on the news, and the helicopter that was hovering 1,500 feet up above could smell this odor. So, you know, it's really something that was happening in a real way, and we were still not getting answers. There were different reports, whether it was a leak in Santa Monica, whether it was a leak in Culver City, whether it was a leak near me, or an overturned truck that was having mercaptan. The fact is that we were just not getting answers. And it was not only from the gas company, it was also from first responders who didn't know what was happening. And it was the same thing from elected officials. So no one knew what was happening, and we were not getting answers. And the fact is that this, now that we know what happened, it was a small incident. So it's even more concerning that if this happened at this small scale, what's going to happen if we get an earthquake? And now we know it's mercaptan. It's actually two different chemicals that they add to gas. And this gas is being collected at this oil site in Rancho Park in the golf course. So basically, they're drilling for oil, and gas is a byproduct. So Soca Gas is getting that gas, putting into the pipelines along with this mercaptan and this other odorant. And both substances have some side effects that we know of that are temporary. We don't know the long-term effects of these odorants on health. The fact is that I got really nauseous. My husband got nauseous. Even my dog got sick. So they could not. I mean, I don't know how Soca Gas can say that these odorants are non-toxic if our bodies are reacting in such a way that my head was just bursting, my eyes were burning, my husband's lungs were burning, and my dog could barely walk the next day. Seriously, I saw a report from a neighbor whose canary died. I mean, seriously, how can you say this is non-toxic?
So thank you, Andrea. Susan, could you give us, from your perspective, you had a lot of experiences with a mercaptan leak that was stated to be non-toxic.
Right.
What's your opinion of that determination? And your experience in Aliso Canyon.
Well, when I talked to Andrea the next day, it was chilling because I thought, you know, after all that happened at Aliso Canyon, have we learned nothing? Because she was having the same experiences I was having. Like, no one would, you know, we weren't getting any information. AQMD would come out and do the testing, but no one knew what to do. A lot of people didn't even know what was going on. But as far as the mercaptan goes, we had a town hall finally, I want to say 3 weeks after the leak. And the health department, SoCal Gas, the neighborhood council at that time, I was not on it, Puerto Ranch Neighborhood Council was there. And they said the same thing. Oh, mercaptan, it's just an odorant. It's not harmful, it's not toxic. And I brought a document that I got online from the Center for Disease Control, and it specifically laid out all of the symptoms that we were all getting, the headaches, the nausea, the nosebleeds, the eye irritation, the rashes. And then it had a statement that said, there have been no long-term studies on even low level of long-term exposure to mercaptan. Right. So in other words, we don't know. They can't say it's safe when we don't know, and we're basically the guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. We were the first, actually probably Mobile, Alabama, 8 Mile, I'm sorry, 8 Mile, Alabama, and now Aliso Canyon, and now Andrea's neighborhood. It is a chemical. It's not. It's meant to be smelled, and then you leave the area because usually it's a little gas leak you have in your house. So it's not meant to be smelled constantly or at the level that Andrea's neighborhood experienced. So it's not safe.
You're listening to EcoJustice Radio here on 90.7 KPFK. That was Susan Gorman-Chang speaking on her experience with the gas leak at Aliso Canyon. Marta Segura, I'd like for you to talk about the issue of neighborhood drilling and how the dangers that poses, not just in Rancho Park, not just in Aliso Canyon, mm-hmm. but throughout Southern California communities and beyond, of course. Yeah. And could you talk about that issue and what's sure. being done to address it?
Absolutely. So first, I'd like to say that not many people know that L.A. was an oil town. 150 years ago, they started drilling oil. So we actually have drills and wells all over L.A. Some are capped, some are uncapped, some are gas, some are oil, some are both. But because of that, we have them in almost every neighborhood, wealthy and South L.A. and Southeast L.A. And what we're trying to do through Stand L.A., Standing Against Neighborhood Drilling, we're a member ally, is to create a buffer zone. A health and safety buffer zone through the city of LA. So we're asking the council members to set an ordinance that would create a health and safety buffer zone because there isn't one right now. There's literally a fence between some houses and some of these oil wells. And the city of LA has also just recently appointed a petroleum administrator, right? That petroleum administrator is required by city charter. And it had never, well, at least in the last 40 years, had never had a petroleum administrator. And that petroleum administrator is supposed to be our chief enforcer and monitor of oil and well and refinery operations. But he is overwhelmed, right? He is understaffed. And he's trying to catch up with 40 years of no monitoring, unenforcement. So we really hope that because of what the coalition is doing with supporters like Food and Water Watch and the Center for Biological Diversity, we can get the city to take some action and do a managed decline of fossil fuels in the city of LA and get the city of Los Angeles to set the standard and lead the way for more regulation of oil and gas because there's obviously an attempt for a fossil fuel infrastructure expansion throughout the nation and throughout California, and we really need to be going in the other direction. And I guess the city of LA has not really been known in the past historically to be a regulator of oil for various reasons.
Thank you, Marta mm-hmm. Segura. Andrea Leon-Grossman, what is your opinion of what's necessary to, one, to police these issues? And two, how can the city of Los Angeles and actually the world get to 100% clean and renewable energy? How do you see us on that path?
Well, the fact is that we already have the technology to go 100% renewable today. It really enrages me to hear that this is the technology of the future, because the fact is that it's here and it's now. There's even a quote by a Sempra executive who said and admitted that if you had asked him 3 years ago, he wouldn't have acknowledged it. But today, LA and actually the state can go 100% renewable today. So right now it's just political willpower. We just need to make sure that our elected officials know that it's here, it's now, and it must be done. We need technology that is not going to hurt us or kill us. And this is right now what we have in our neighborhoods. We seriously, this is just an anecdote that just happened in my family in Mexico City. After the earthquake, the building where my grandmother was living collapsed. She was in the sixth floor. She was able to be rescued, but her caretaker, my cousin, was parking the car in that building, and the building fell on him. And the rescue brigades that arrived to rescue him could not go into the building because there were all these gas leaks. And it was just nerve-wracking to see that people are there ready to go into these buildings to save people. And they can't do their job because we have this gas that is killing us, literally. And the fact is that I went to see my grandmother. I spoke with her. She actually ended up getting a stroke because of all the stress. Mm-hmm. And I come back here and I went to meet with my own council member. I said, listen, I don't think we're any better here. We have all this aging infrastructure of gas that we know is going to fail us on the next big earthquake. And we don't need it. And we have already the means to basically stop this and decommission all this dirty energy that is going to kill us mm-hmm. in a major disaster. We need to stop this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Andrea Leon Grossman. Susan Gorman-Chang, the process to closing the gas storage facility at Aliso Canyon has been a little difficult, and Governor Brown is involved. Also, we're facing, Southern California has been beset by massive wildfires, and mm-hmm. of course the risk is significant in Aliso Canyon, among other areas. What do you see as the way forward to shutting down this facility?
Well, I think the good news is the longer it stays at such a low emergency level. Right now it's the acid of last resort. They can only draw from it if they prove that we need it. And so I think they've only had two draws in the last couple of years, and now those are under suspicion and investigation because it appears they didn't need to draw from it. So I think the longer we go without using them, the more it proves that we don't. As more people get solar panels, as we get the battery backup technology on the utility level, I think we so slowly show, not even slowly, rather quickly show that we don't need them. They were using Aliso Canyon as a storage for futures exchange. In other words, they were putting gas in there, buying it low, selling it high on the exchange. That has nothing to do with reliability. Mm-hmm. They were also leasing out space for other people who wanted to store their gas there. That has nothing to do with reliability. That is all pure profit for them. So I think as we recognize that, educate people on that, and move away from using that, I think we really do need to shut it down. It does take some political will. There's that blackout blackmail going on. Hasn't happened. We're going on 3 years now. We're through the 2 years. You know,
explain
we're going on
blackout
3 years
blackmail.
Now. Blackout blackmail was what SoCalGas said. They said, you know, during the summer months, we need gas to produce electricity, and there's going to be blackouts. During the winter, you're going to lose your gas. People are going to freeze to death, you know, in Southern California. And so they tried to scare all of us into submission, basically. And it hasn't worked because we haven't had blackouts and we haven't had gas shortages. We have a piping system that can pipe enough gas in here to meet our needs. Mm-hmm. And again, as we live without Aliso Canyon, the longer that goes, the stronger we get with our solar, with our alternative energies, with our battery backups, the more we prove we don't need them. Mm-hmm. So it may be a slower process to shut it down, but I'm hopeful that we will. But we have to have the political will. We can't be bullied around by a company who is you know, the bottom line is they need to make money, and they need to, that is their concern. We are not their concern. Their concern is they're a for-profit company. Their parent is Sempra. I know they said in the hearing Tuesday that we're a local company. No, they're a Fortune 500 company. Sempra is a huge, huge utility. Exactly. And, yeah, so that's the bottom line. Political will, and the longer we go without them, the longer we prove we don't need them.
Thank you, Susan Gorman-Chang. Question for Marta Segura. Your opinion, okay, Los Angeles is ground zero in California for a major refinery. Oil and gas refineries, and how do and the impacts that they present to neighborhoods is significant, and They also present massive risks to the global climate and to, you know, the supply chain up and down. Mm-hmm. We have oil trains exploding. We have leaky pipelines. We have, you know, indigenous nations being run over by pipelines. Mm-hmm. What can we do to move past that as you know, how do you envision the way forward? Because it's a really difficult thing, seeing as our economy is based on fossil fuels, yeah. And there's a lot of jobs at stake. So how do you see a just transition to 100% renewable?
Wow, that's a really great and complex question. But I guess what I'd like to do right now is point out how our Democrats in Los Angeles County and in California, many of them are bought off by oil companies and the gas company. So we need to address that. We need to shine some light on how pervasive that practice is. And in fact, I think that that's why SoCalGas has gotten away with so much in these gas leaks in California and in Los Angeles, excuse me. In this particular example, SoCalGas had committed to call the city of LA whenever there was a future gas leak after El Izo Canyon, and they failed to do so. So I think we really need to transform our democratic system, mobilize our communities, really organize our folks, and ensure that they're well aware and educated about the catastrophe that can happen without addressing the issue. That is climate change, right? And how disproportionately it impacts communities of color.
Right? Yes, thank you. So could each of our guests explain how to get in touch with their organization and steps that they want to advise the public to take? First, we'll start with Andrea Leon Grossman.
So, yeah, we have a website for Food and Water Watch, but we more importantly, we have a Facebook page where we post all our events. So Food and Water Watch California, that's our Facebook page. My own Twitter page is at Andrea Leon, and I am very active on Twitter, as yes. many people know, including some politicians. And please follow me, follow my page, and follow us at on our Facebook page.
Thank you. Susan Gorman-Chang?
Yes, you can get information from Porter Ranch Neighborhood Council at prnc.org. Specifically, moving forward, I'm the co-chair of the Sustainability Committee. We're always having educational meetings about, you know, solar panels, energy efficiency audits, things like that, that we on a personal level as our households can move forward and get more efficient. With solar panels, you know, I'm a big fan of them. If you can purchase them, you can lease them. If you're low income, there's Grid Alternatives, which is a nonprofit that can get you solar. Personally, I don't see why there's any reason why almost every roof in L.A. shouldn't have solar panels. That would take us a long way to getting to clean energy.
Great.
And Marta Segura.
Yeah, I want to refer people to both Stand LA, which is stand.la, and biologicaldiversity.org, where we have a take action page. And I want to reiterate that it's really important that we focus on managed decline, and organizing at the local level is super important. And we would want, you know, local council members to take immediate action and halt permits to all new oil drilling and any expansions, and that includes the AQMD. If they can just stop expanding and stop new permitting at this point forward, then that would help us create this environment where we acknowledge we don't need to expand anymore. In fact, we need to go in the other direction.
Well, thank you very much. You've been listening to EcoJustice Radio here on 90.7 FM KPFK in Los Angeles. And my name is Jack Ide.
And that is it for our show. Thank you for tuning in to EcoJustice Radio here on 90.7 KPFK. I want to thank Marta Segura, Andrea Leon Grossman, and Susan Corman-Cheng for coming on the show. EcoJustice Radio is brought to you by SoCal 350 and KPFK. Executive producer Mark Morris, interview hosted by Jack Eit, and original music by Javier Caudry. My name is JP Morris, and remember, until next time, the power is yours.